So turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. I'm reading from the New King James. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like the grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it's cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Well, next Tuesday is the 1st of January 2019. And everybody all around the world will have dreams and expectations of what they would like to happen in this new year. Well, if we are a Christian this morning, then this psalm has something to teach us about God that we can take forward into a new year. Now, Psalm 90 is actually the oldest book, the oldest psalm in the whole of the book of 150 psalms, the oldest one written in the Psalms. And it was written by Moses, the man of God. In Joshua 14, verse 6, we're told that Moses was a man of God. And the subject matter of this psalm deals with the frailty of human sinful nature. It deals with life and death, and it deals with how we can cope with living in a very confused and difficult world. It is a psalm that is ideal as we consider the future of a new year. And it's possible that Moses wrote this psalm after Israel's failure to move forward in faith at Kadesh Barnea, as recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 to 14. This is when God condemned the nation of Israel to live in the wilderness for 40 years until the older generation had died. Remember, they disobeyed Joshua and Caleb as they went to the promised land and said, yes, we can make it, we can take it. But unfortunately, the people didn't follow that advice and God's challenge. This tragedy was followed by the death of Moses' sister, Miriam, Numbers 20, verse 1, and also Moses' brother, Aaron, died in Numbers 20, 22 to 29. So it was between those two deaths that Moses disobeyed God and struck the rock, remember, for the water, Numbers 22-13. So with all this going on, how did Moses become a man of God? He spent 40 years in pagan Egypt, and that ended in failure. We know he murdered someone and ran away. Then he had 40 years as a humble shepherd boy in Midian, and then many more years trying to shepherd about 3 million people out of Egypt and through into the desert. Well, for Moses, it wasn't easy, but he became a man of God. He did it by getting the victory over his circumstances. Now, in this psalm, he shares his heart with us in order that we might have the strength and wisdom from God to go through life's journey in 2019. And I hope that this message today will encourage you throughout the year. And there are three things that Moses teaches us in this psalm. And the first is that we are only travelers as we journey through 2019. But God is our home. We're only travelers as we journey through 2019, but God is our home. The second thing that Moses teaches us is that we are constantly learning, and the circumstances of our life in 2019 are our school of learning. Every year we go back to school and we learn something. The circumstances of our life this year are the teaching process of God. We're going to learn something. The third thing that Moses teaches us, that if we are believers in Jesus Christ, then our future in 2019 will be a blessed time. That's a promise from God. So let's deal with our first point, which is verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 19. We are travelers in 2019, but God himself is our home. For everybody, life is a journey from birth to death. However, for believers in Jesus Christ, it is a journey from earth to heaven. However, the road that we travel on is not an easy one. Jacob himself called his 130 years of his journey few and evil, Genesis 47, verses 9. Nevertheless, Jacob was a follower of God to the very end of his life. He died leaning on his staff while he was blessing his sons. He served God right to the end, and we know from our Christmas prophecy some of the things that he said at the last weeks of his life. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 21 says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff." Now, Moses led a nation of former slaves who spent a lot of time complaining, and they didn't always appreciate the sacrifice of Moses' leadership. In Numbers chapter 33, we're told that there were 42 different places where Israel camped during their journeys. I haven't moved 42 times. I hope you haven't, because that's a big move. But Moses moved the nation of Israel, several million people, 42 times during their journey in the desert. However, for Moses, these places never became home, because God himself was always his home. Now, this is a wonderful truth to take forward into 2019. Today, there are lots of people who attend Osaka International Church from foreign countries. Today, Singapore, Hong Kong, and all over Japan and everywhere in the world, and I'm from the UK. And perhaps during 2019, you may get a little homesick, especially in the summer when it gets hot and we go through difficult times. Everybody when they hit difficult times, they want to go home. They want to go somewhere, a place of safety and comfort. However, if you're a Christian, you need to remember, and I need to remember, that God is our home. God Himself is our home. We are a citizen of heaven, and Jesus is our visa for all eternity. We don't belong here. We are pilgrims. We are journeying through this world. Moses says in verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses declaring that God dwelt with them and they dwelt with God. God was their home. He declares in verse 2 that God is the everlasting God who created this world and everything in it. Deuteronomy 33 verses 27a says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You see, Moses knew how to abide in the Lord and find strength and comfort and encouragement and help for each day. And if we want to have that strength and that comfort and that encouragement from God and His help each day, we need to learn how to abide in God. We're told a little bit in Exodus 33, verses 7 to 11 about Moses. It says, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood in his tent and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So Moses had his own quiet time each day where he spoke with God. And if we are going to survive spiritually in 2019, then we need to have time spent alone with God, reading His Word, the Bible, and talking with Him. Now, this is the most important part of our 2019, spending time alone with God and His Word, the Bible. God communicates to us through the Bible. But the thing we need to remember, and we sometimes forget, is that talking with God is a two-way process. He talks with us, and we need to listen and obey His teaching. Now, the New Testament equivalent of abiding with God is taught in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, and this really says it all. John 15, verses 1 to 11 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. This is Jesus talking here. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? This is what Jesus is teaching us this morning. We will never be effective for God unless we're connected to him and willing to have our lives sanctified, set apart, unless we're willing to obey. So to have that joy that I'm sure we all want, we have to be connected with Jesus and we have to be obeying his word. The pruning knife of God is never easy, and I've had it a few times, but it does produce more fruit for God's glory. You would think if things are going well, surely God wouldn't bring the pruning knife in and do something in your life. You think you're okay, but actually he does it to produce more fruit in your life. And disappointments are often God's opportunity to grow your faith. This year, 2019, we're all going to have some disappointments. And those disappointments are God's appointments to grow your faith. Now, I know a pastor from the UK, he's actually in heaven now, but many years ago, he moved to the United States of America to pastor a church. And he shipped all his worldly goods into a big container and sent it off to the United States. And his wife insisted that she take her best bone china dinner set. It was very expensive and very durable. If you know anything about the English, they like their tea. And if you're a tea connoisseur, you've got to have bone china. It keeps the tea hot. And that's the secret of drinking English tea. You've got to have it hot. That's why people have bone china. Well, the container arrived in the United States. The contents were put into a rented house by the church members, and the church members got everything ready for their new pastor. And the pastor eventually arrived in those days that came on the boat. The pastor arrived from America, only to discover that a few days before he arrived, his house had completely burnt to the ground. And the only thing that was not destroyed by the fire was his wife's best bone china tea and dinner set and all the plates. The house burnt to the ground. There was nothing left apart from his wife's bone china, completely untouched. And the reason that his wife's bone china survived is that it had been fired up to such a high degree, it had been burnt already in the process of making it strong. So it could not and it would not burn. And at that moment, God spoke to the pastor as he collected his wife's bone china. And God said to him, "You are a preacher of sanctification. And you challenge people to fully surrender their lives to God. Now you know that the only thing that survives the trials of life are the things that are already burnt and surrendered to God in your life." And for the rest of his life, this pastor was able to use this illustration to preach about sanctification and the surrendered life for all Christians. When our life is surrendered and burnt up to God, then nothing can destroy us. God can never take away that which he already owns and controls. If you want to be blessed in 2019,
surrender it all to God, and it doesn't really matter what happens. If we surrender our lives to God for His will in 2019, whatever happens will be for God's glory. And that preacher got 35 to 40 years of illustrations for his sanctification message, which was what he stood for. And this preacher who told me the story about his house being burnt down told it to me in London about 25 years ago. He was 70 years old at the time, and he'd been using this illustration for over 20 years. And he thanked God that his house was burnt down. I don't think I'd find that difficult, but he said it was such a wonderful experience to know that that which has been burnt already will never be destroyed. And when he told it to me, it was a very powerful illustration, because I was going through a situation that was very difficult. And I hope that from that illustration that you'll see that a life surrendered to God will never, ever be destroyed. The way of blessing in 2019 is to make God your home, and for God to feel comfortable in your home. And you will not be disappointed in 2019 if you make God your home and if God feels comfortable in your home. So that's the first point of the psalm. Just these two verses. Moses, 42 places he camped at, and yet he said, God is my home. Make God your home in 2019, and it won't matter where you move around the world. Second thing in the psalm, verses 3 to 12, we are constantly learning in life, and our circumstances in 2019 are the school where we can grow and learn. Now, I haven't been to school for a long time, but I do know that I'm still learning. Moses was educated in the best place in Egypt. They say in Japan that you have to be educated in Kyoto. You work in Osaka, but you live in Kobe, because Kobe's the best place to live. But Moses had the best education in the world at that time. He had the very best place in Egypt. However, the lessons that he learned walking with God were far more important than his academic education. So you may have the best education in Japan, but it's what you learn walking with God that's going to help you in your life. In these verses, Moses teaches us two important lessons. Firstly, that life is brief and it passes by very quickly. That's what it says in verses 4 to 6. Secondly, life is difficult and sometimes it seems pointless. Verses 7 to 11. In verses 4 to 6, Moses gives us some illustrations to teach us about the brevity of life. In verse 4, Moses tells us that compared with eternity, okay, forever and ever, our lives are very brief. I'll be 65 in 2019. Where did it all go? Just seems like yesterday I was a young boy in South Africa learning to swim. But it's gone, or nearly gone, but that's okay. So Moses tells us that compared with eternity, our lives are brief. So you may be 21 and think that you're young, but compared with eternity, if you live to 100, that's brief. Even 1,000 years in God's eyes is brief. Moses educates us using some grass area in Israel, it seems. In the morning, the dew falls on the grass, it grows a little, but then the midday sun comes out, starts to wither, and by the evening the grass is looking dead. In other words, that's kind of a day. So he's giving us an illustration about life being brief. In fact, Moses died at 120 years. That's kind of long. People don't live to that long today, but Moses died at 120. Joshua died at 110. But David was only 70 when he died. And we never know when God will require our life to end. We know he's got it all planned out, but we don't know when it's going to happen. What matters is that we prepare ourselves for the event of our death, for the beginning of our eternity. So next year, 2019, God will bring experiences into our lives to mature us and help us to grow to be more like Jesus. So our sanctification process continues next year. We're always going to be growing until we get to heaven. I haven't arrived and I won't arrive. And I hope that I'll always continue to grow to be more like Jesus. And it's only as we obey God's word in our personal experience that we're going to grow as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is very clear that as we obey him, he reveals his presence to us. The solution that Moses offers us about this brief life that we have, 70, you may live to 100, doesn't really matter, but whatever it is, life is brief. The solution that Moses offers to us is to teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So 2019 seems a long time, and it probably will be if you count the days, but teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, what does it really mean to number our days? Well, the Hebrew phrase can be translated weigh or measure our days. It means making effective use of each day for the glory of God. So we've only got today. Okay, no guarantees about tomorrow, but we have got today. So making effective use of each day for the glory of God. That's what it means to number our days. And there are three things that I'd like to suggest in order to help us next year to number our days. The first thing is to be good stewards of your time. There's a saying in England that goes like this: if you want something done, ask a busy person. And the reason for this is that busy people know how to manage their time. And they'll always make time to do that little thing for you because they're managing their time. The devil sends people into our lives to waste our time. But the Holy Spirit sends people into our lives that we might give them quality time. So we need to minimize our wasted time and maximize our effective time. I thought about this. The average Japanese person spends 1 hour and 15 minutes each day going to work on the train. This is just about 6 hours each working week for a five-day week. So if you do a six-day week, it's more. So just the average person spends 6 hours on the train going to work. Now, what could you possibly do on the train for 6 hours? Well, you could pray for 6 hours, and you could see God do wonderful answers to your prayers. No one's going to stop you praying on the train. You could learn Bible memory verses, and you may get someone converted if you do it softly. God would encourage you in those reading the words and memorizing the word, and you can use them to speak to other people. You could listen to the Bible on your iPhone, or read a good Christian book, or have a talking book, or something like that. You could edify yourself. This would encourage your soul, and we need to be selective about our reading, but there are some good Christian books that we can get. So there are many things that we can do to make effective use of our time, and that's what it means to number our days. Maybe in 2019, if you knew that 2019 was going to be your last year on this earth, and then 31st of December 29, you were going to go die and go to heaven, what things might you plan to do this year? People call this their bucket list, because kicking the bucket means when you die. That's why they call it their bucket list. But I wonder how many of us would choose to do spiritual things rather than just things that give us fleeting pleasure. It's great to have holidays and travel around and do all these wonderful things, but actually, if I only had a year left, I think I'd spend more time in prayer than anything else. I'd spend more time in the Bible than anything else, because in eternity, those things are going to carry me forward in a wonderful way. So, first thing, be good stewards of your time. Secondly, be careful to take the opportunities that God will give you. Now, I remember back to 2014. It was a very difficult year for myself and my wife, and I didn't really know what God was doing in our life and where He was leading us. But an opportunity came directly from God to come to Japan and serve you here at Osaka International Church. Now, if we had decided not to come, and there were plenty of reasons we could have given for not coming, I believed we would have missed a God-given opportunity. Whatever the sacrifice, my advice is to take every opportunity that God will give you in 2019 to serve you, to serve Him, wherever you might be in the world. And in order to recognize that, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God as God speaks to you about your opportunities. Don't judge your opportunities for God on what you can do yourself in your own strength. Judge them on what God might do through you as you surrender your life to Him. With God, nothing is impossible. So as you look forward to next year, be careful to take the opportunities that God will give you. And sometimes they seem pretty tough, but you know that God is leading you in that direction. The third thing I want to say is balance your life well between ministry, family, fellowship, and leisure. We all know that Japanese companies demand long hours from their workers. Some Christians decide to do part-time work to give them a better life-work balance, and this enables them to serve God better. But there is a sacrifice, and it often means less money, and this is hard. However, God always honors those people who honor Him. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30 says, "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." So if you make a decision this year to honor God and balance your life, your ministry, and your fellowship, and your leisure, God is going to honor you. Because God is no man's debtor. He will provide for you as you honor Him. Two very important points from that psalm. The last one is verses 13 to 17, and that is, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, the future in 2019 is going to be abundantly blessed. Up to now, the psalmist Moses has been a little bit negative, but now he encourages us in this last section by appealing to the grace of God to work in our lives. And what we need more than anything else in 2019 is for the grace of God to work in our lives. When Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, then He carries you into 2019 as your friend. The last section emphasizes God's compassion and God's unfailing love. God desires to bless us with His presence, even when we go through trials and tribulations. Verses 13 to 15 says, "Return, O Lord, how long?" Moses is waiting. "And have compassion on your servants." We want God to have compassion on us, and we need to have compassion on other people. "Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. Okay, that's tough, isn't it? Make us glad according to the days that you have in which you have afflicted us. The years in which we've seen evil. So how do we cope in this evil world? How do we cope when we're going through difficult times? We cry to God for his compassion. We cry to God for his mercy. You see, Moses knew what it was to have God's blessing. And he wanted to have it again. He wanted to see God come again. He'd seen the waters part of the Red Sea. He'd seen the manna bread coming down every day. He'd seen the water from the rock. He'd seen God's blessing. But he wanted to have it again. And God is the God of new starts and new opportunities. We have to learn from our past mistakes and failures, but we mustn't let them bind us, and we mustn't let them be a negative thing. We learn from the past, but we move forward. God wants to bless us next year. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. And what father doesn't want to bless his children? As we move forward into a new year, let us all start afresh with God. Make God your home. Obey his word, and he will abundantly bless you. Let's pray.